You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Imagine having a loved one who was a veteran, and only after they passed away, you found out you could have made their life better, or they could have, if only you had a little knowledge. Today, our special guest is Michael Mosheri. He specializes in VA benefits, education, retirement. He is certified senior advisor. Stay tuned today to get the information you need to make your or a loved one's life better. Hi, this is Rich Sparks, senior real estate specialist at Keller Williams Realty and your host for Baby Boomer University. And it's that time. Class is in session. Well, today we have a very, very special guest. We have Michael Mosheri. He is a specialist in VA benefits. Now, a lot of you might think that everyone knows if you're a vet, you know about these benefits. Well, I'm a vet, and until I got into this industry, I had no idea. Matter of fact, here's some stats before we get going here. The number of wartime veterans in the U.S. as of September 2018 was 15,180,741, give or take. Only one in seven seniors who are eligible for aid in attendance, which we're going to be talking about today, actually claim it. And that is some crazy stats, because if you qualify for this, that means you were during a wartime, and Michael's going to get more into that. But this is a great benefit. Michael, how did you get involved in helping our veterans with getting these great benefits?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Rich, for the opportunity to be able to educate and get the word out about these benefits. I actually started a little over 11 years ago, and I was recruited because of my background. The folks that I initially started with had an organization called the American Association for Wartime Veterans. And it was an organization that was started by a financial planner, okay, and actually two of them, and they were in the Medicaid planning business. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, a nice little old lady named Rosa Cromie here walked into their world and said, I'm a wartime veteran. I heard there's a benefit. And Mary, the president and founder of that group, said, mm-hmm, I just finished working for the Department of Army for 17 years, and no one ever talked about this. Right. Let's check into it. So that's kind of how the organization got started. It took about a year for Rosa to get approved because she was the first person in Michigan to, wow, ever successfully apply.
Really?
So that was kind of how the organization got its start. And then I joined them a few years later in 2008.
Okay. So, and I too was recruited, but that was for the actual military. So it was a
right,
little different.
That's true.
But that is, this is one of the best well-kept secrets out, yes, of all the benefits possible. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, for helping someone get these benefits, you get paid $0?
Yes, that's so right.
So how is it you know, I'm sure your kids like to eat, you like to put gas in your car. So how is it you make a living?
Yes, that's a very good question. People are always wondering that. As I'm presenting weekly, I have an educational seminar, okay, that I present at my office just so that people can come and plug in after work. Usually it's the kids, the caregiver generation that, sure, are wanting to learn about, you know, what's available to help their family situation. So what we talk about when we are discussing that subject really is making sure that we do follow the rules. And it's a situation where you're absolutely right. You cannot charge them to fill out VA paperwork, to do anything directly related, okay, to this. And so as a financial advisor, we found it to be very helpful for families,
sure,
because we know the rules. We can give them planning tips. We can help them along the way. And so about half of my day, I work for free. And we think it's a wonderful way to do it because I have hundreds and hundreds of people talking, right, about me because they were all successful in their endeavor with me. And so as a financial advisor, I figured, you know, instead of spending millions of dollars on advertising, mm-hmm, I'll just work half of my day for free helping veterans get what they're looking for,
sure,
and maybe even what they didn't know they were, you know, they weren't aware of this. And okay. It's a great way to have free advertising. And a lot of the kids come back to us and say, I've never had a financial advisor say the things that you do. Let's take a look at my situation once we get my loved one's situation stabilized. So that's how we're able to pay the bills. Then a lot of the people okay. come back and say, thank you. You did such a good job helping our family.
Right.
Now I'd like to be able to help yours. So it's really a good way to do it.
Yeah. So it's really that, and that's our mentality too, is that get by giving attitude.
Yes, exactly.
That's excellent. And we've had over the years, because I've been working in the senior community for well over a decade, and we've had a lot of folks come and go that helped people
right.
with VA benefits. And that's primarily why, you know, some really good folks with good intentions. Matter of fact, there was a nonprofit located in Macomb County for a while. The name escapes me.
Okay.
Great folks. But the problem was you got to be able to make a living.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. So we're going to be talking pretty specific on what type of VA benefit.
This is called the aid in attendance benefit.
Excellent. And this is something that we've experienced with people that's just been life-changing.
Yes.
I had some clients in St. Clair Shores about 2 or 3 years ago. The husband, who was a vet. And by the way, you don't have to be on the front lines
that's
with a
correct.
Machine gun. And I was talking with them, and I kept telling them about this. And they're like, nope, he was a secretary. He's not going to get that. Well, he was experiencing dementia, and for his spouse, you could just see her declining. And it mm-hmm. took us, gosh, I must have spoken with them over the course of 8 months. And here again, you know, I'm in real estate, and I'm like,
sure,
okay, if you want to age in place, you need to do this so you can get help.
Yes.
And I really brought it out to him like that, guys, think about what the benefit of, for me, a real estate agent, for you to age in place? None.
Right.
This is because it's the best thing for you.
Right.
But it took us about 8-9 months. They finally applied. What a game changer. Tell us a little bit about the overall program. Then we'll back into on how to see if someone qualifies and what the process is.
Okay.
Give us a little overview.
Yes, you're right. There is a lot of paperwork to this, and it's something that I liken to, sometimes people will fill out, say, a credit card application.
Mm-hmm.
So you put down your basic information, your name, address, date of birth, social security number, you plug in what your income figure is, and that's it. It's pretty much static information. They take it, and you're either a yes or you're a no. Well, this benefit, what a lot of people don't realize is that you can put some forethought into it. Like mm-hmm. you said, you may have a situation where you meet someone. Sometimes I meet someone and it's not till 3 months later or a year later that they're ready to actually make application for it. And as a financial advisor, that's one of the nice things that I can mm-hmm. do is give them advice and say, okay, your situation today, you would be a no, but we can make these changes.
Ah.
And in a week or a month or a year, you would be eligible. So as far as the basics, as you mentioned, they do have to be a wartime veteran. And so mm-hmm. that's a distinction. I think the statistic is somewhere around 75% of all veterans are wartime veterans. They served during war. And that's a distinction that's very unique. You may have a mm-hmm. peacetime veteran, but this benefit is available to only wartime veterans. And so what happens is you have to have 1 day during the periods of war. And so Congress defines those periods as, you know, the dates that they officially declare war and the date that war officially ends. So we have typically World War II era in the 40s, December of
sure.
41 till the end of 46. And then we have the Korean War, which is 50 to 55
right.
is the time frame for that. And then now we're seeing some veterans that are in the Vietnam era veteran. And those are 64 to 75. So you do have to have at least 1 day of wartime mm-hmm. service to be considered wartime. So I have had situations where someone comes in and they literally went and started basic training or went into active duty the very last day of the Korean War, January 31st
oh,
of 1955.
Wow.
And so because they had that 1 day, even though their service was, you know, the next year or two after
sure.
war, because they had that 1 day of wartime service, they would qualify. So that's the big area that a lot of people don't realize when they're initially mm-hmm. looking into this, is you have to have served wartime service. Sometimes we meet people that they don't meet that requirement,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to go and, you know, they're not eligible for this one,
sure.
but there are a number of other benefits that they may qualify for.
Okay.
So that's really the primary thing is, did they serve during wartime? Then they have to have at least 90 days of active duty. It has to be consecutive days.
Right.
So I've met families that, you know, their loved ones served for 1 or 2 or 3 years. Every once in a while, I have someone that has served 20 or 22 or 25 years. And so they will be eligible
right.
for a separate military pension, like if you retired from a private corporation that offers a pension.
Sure.
So we have situations like that where they've served a long time. The typical situation is probably 1 or 2 years of active duty. That's most often what I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you have to have the active duty component. You have to have the wartime service. And then from there, it's a lot of financial review that the VA does. And so they kind of come okay. out and say, this is something that they look at their financial tests that they look at. And so they have a couple of different things that they look mm-hmm. at. One has to do with income figures, and then one has to do with assets.
Okay.
And so that's the area that things are always changing. And we mentioned at the top that I've been doing this for about 11 years.
Right.
In October, just a few months ago, October of 2018, the VA came out and said, we're going to make a major rule change. And that's where things Yay. Really have changed quite a bit.
Right.
So going back to your discussion on, you've met some other people that have done this before, and because of the fact that you can't directly charge someone for doing this, it is very difficult to be consistent with it because you're not charging anything
exactly.
for this.
And that's the key, and that's part of when looking at someone to help you, their longevity of actually doing it becomes so important.
And you're right. I've seen people that, you know, I remember back when I had been doing this for about 2 or 3 years around 2010, mm-hmm. a gentleman came up to me at a networking event, and he was, you know, all eager about this. He had just learned about this.
Right.
And so he was all gung-ho about it. And I was always thinking in the back of my mind, okay, I hope he's got good intentions. I hope he's not just in this to try to make a bunch of money
sure.
and move on.
Right.
And that's really what I think the VA is concerned about when they came out with those rules. And quite mm-hmm. frankly, those of us that do a really, really good job and follow the rules, we're also concerned about that too. And so...
And that's going beyond this whole industry with seniors, because here again... I was specializing, my whole team was specializing with working with that 50-plus group well before there was even a designation within the National Association of Realtors.
Good.
And it's kind of funny, though. You see all these people coming in, but it's all via media attention. Now we see people, regardless if it's your industry, my industry, estate sales, et cetera, and I think every program I mention this, they're just flying in, hoping to make some money and get out.
Right.
So at any point in time, you have to be incredibly careful on who you use to assist you in any of these processes right now. Wouldn't you agree? Have
right.
you been seeing the same
oh,
thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that lends a lot of credibility to what we do, which is a positive in all this.
Absolutely.
Number one, having over 11 years in the business of doing it and not getting into, you know, trouble or things
right.
like that. But you're right. And that's in my business. We have the different designations like the senior certified senior advisor. So mm-hmm. those are courses that we take to make sure that we're following the rules and so that we understand what we're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
So that as we're helping seniors, we're really in it for helping them. And like you said, if you give and help other people get what they need, they're going to help you do just the same. And,
yeah.
and people, I can't tell you how many times they ask me, can I pay you, you know, can I give you a donation?
Right.
Is there something that I can do? And for those folks, you know, I understand the wanting to pay back and give something to someone that's just helped you. And what I tell them is donate to a veteran cause.
Oh, that's
you
a
know,
great.
There are a lot of people yeah. that can use that kind of financial assistance. And there are a lot of very, very legitimate groups that can help with that kind of a thing. So I think that they really like that. And it's a great way to be able to give back. But sure, in this business, you know, you really have to be careful about ethics. You have to
Absolutely.
Be careful because you hear these stories in the media about people taking advantage of seniors. You know, sometimes when it's a celebrity, it really goes pretty
sure.
nationwide and people hear about it and think, oh, sure, you know, you have to to watch out for that kind of thing. So that's one of the things that I've always been grateful. I do partner with an elder law attorney. Mm-hmm. So he's been instrumental. And it's kind of an interesting story because the way that we became acquainted with him, we actually helped his family through applying the process for applying for benefits for his wife's aunt. So it was a couple of years before I joined the organization. And so his wife's aunt was looking into placement into a care community. And so we refer to communities as the different independent and assisted living communities around the area that can help with placement for a loved one. In many cases, it's maybe it's mom or an aunt or a grandmother. It's a family member in a lot of cases, a direct relative that the family is realizing, oh my gosh, you know, mom or my loved one, they're not able to live at home alone anymore. Sometimes there is an acute situation that happens, like maybe a hospitalization, or maybe the kids are visiting for the holidays or on a weekend, and they realize that, oh my gosh, I'm looking around and seeing mom really isn't taking care of things like she used to. Some things are being neglected.
That's a common story. I mean, we deal with that all the time also, but there's the other side too, where they're fine, but they're isolated. They're not getting the socialization. And quite frankly, some of these senior communities around Metro Detroit, my goodness, can I move in?
Yes. They're nicer than our own homes in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Activities, food.
They have a wonderful social calendar. Sometimes
they do.
I've had my own family, you know, living in these communities, and I can't tell you how many times I joke about they have a better social calendar than me.
Right.
You know, some of them are going to Detroit Tigers baseball games or they're going on casino trips and, you know, everything
Niagara
in between.
Niagara Falls, you name it. I mean, there's some really...
That industry really has changed, and that's
awesome.
A big part of why I think the VA benefit has been so successful in helping so many people, because as that industry's evolved, as people have realized you're not leaving a loved one there to die in a nursing home, it's a real senior environment, and they really do their best to, like you said, have a good social calendar, they have activity directors, they have events going on. Especially at the holidays, people are coming in and singing Christmas carols and doing crafts and things.
It's year round.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing that we have to get out into this 50 plus, you know, the caretakers, the sandwich generation.
Right.
That we're not talking about, even when it comes to these VA benefits, let's not wait to the point where it's like, okay, they've lived in misery now the last 5 years, or they've fallen and broken a hip, or all these things, to look into these types of benefits. Because if they can get them in a healthier and happier living situation, this benefit's not, and we'll talk more about the other requirements because it's more than just serving during that time periods. But this can put someone from a good position to a better position, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. There are cases that we see where, you know, most of the time, the concern is either, you know, they don't want to go against their parents' wishes or their loved one's wishes, and it's a financial component. And that's really
nice. That's the big one.
Yes, and where this benefit can really be a big help is that in some of the cases that I see, the family is actually better off because they've accessed this benefit and their loved one is living in a protected environment. And that's what the VA is looking to see. If this is a protected environment, like you said, they're usually going from a home situation where in most cases they're living alone. And if they're 85 or 90 or sometimes 95, a lot of their family members, their friends have either passed away or they're not able to be as mobile as they used to. And all of a sudden, no one really realizes until things get really, really dire, they don't realize that that has changed. And so sometimes the nutrition aspect is lacking. And
we have our big five. So one, proper nutrition.
Yes.
Two, taking your meds on time. Three, physical activity. Four, safe environment. And the big one that people just minimize is socialization. There's been so many studies. But here again, that's why one of the reasons I wanted to start this show was because there was such a big disconnect. I had started Time to Downsize. It's almost the same thing you're doing, that get by giving. And we'll handle that whole relocation. We'll check out every vendor in the process and vet them out and act as that general contractor at no charge to them. And that's worked very well. But then we saw this disconnect with where people were still waiting until it was an emergency scenario. And that's why I'm like, okay, we got to get some education out that, guys, this is a good change.
Yes.
You know, let's not wait until it's a bad situation to an okay. Let's wait. Let's do it when it's a good situation to a great. Because if they have those five things, you're looking at a longer and healthier life.
Absolutely.
A more enjoyable.
Right. And if I can suggest, maybe you should add a sixth to your, you know, your information there, because having these benefits and being aware of them, sometimes they just want to become aware of them and, you know, it might not be the right time. But like you said, what has gotten better in this whole thing that I've seen over the years is that people are willing to take a look at this. Word is getting out, number one, that there are benefits that might be able to help them. And number two, this is a much more positive change for them because there are so many better options that are out there. They need to keep those in consideration because their situation may go from, like you said, good to better or good to great. And that's one of the nice things about working with the different care communities in the area.
Right.
You know, in our area, I work with probably 30 to 40 different independent and assisted living communities, senior living communities. And what's really nice is when you kind of step back and look at everything, probably two-thirds of them are more independent senior communities.
More and more.
Yes. So they're popping up everywhere. There are about 13 of them under construction in within about a 10 or 15 minute radius of my office.
Yeah.
But there are communities, people are realizing that you can have a very, very full life. You can have a better life when you're socializing with people, making sure that your loved one has the nutritional aspect. Those are really the two that we see in an ongoing manner because I hate to say it, but sometimes the families realize, oh my gosh, my loved one is eating Pop-Tarts three times a day, and that's not a healthy nutritional situation.
No.
So sometimes they're wondering, okay, it's, you know, is this my loved one, my parents, are they just declining? Is this what the new norm is going to be? But once they get them into a different environment and they have the nutritional aspect taken care of, they have a better socialization situation, most of the time they improve. And a lot of times the families will say, I wish we would have thought about this sooner.
Many of my clients say exactly that. I had a little side story. This is over in Troy. We had some clients and super nice folks, but they did not get out of bed. It almost reminded me of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when he's talking to his grandparents.
Yes.
So all the adult children would bring me in. At the end of the bed was a chair. And they would have me sit in this chair, and it was foot, talking to mom and dad. And I couldn't even tell you how many times we met with them, or I met with them. And finally, we made the transition, and they went to a local independent living community. I went to visit them a month, 2 months later after they were in. I was actually there for other business and just wanted to stop by and see them. Now, here's two people that had been pretty much bedbound for a few years. I go down, I knock on the door. Here's the dad. He's got his bow tie on. He's in a wheelchair, but he's going down to play cards.
Yes.
Talked with his wife for a while. Her hair was done. It is transformative. It's amazing to see where they went from the grandparents and Willy Wonka to, hey, I'd like to talk with you, but got places to go and things to see.
Yes.
And isn't that an awesome return on investment for the stuff we do?
That is wonderful. That's part of what drives
isn't
us
it?
To do what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, seeing someone succeed and seeing them improve is just wonderful. And the family is, most of the time, they are just in awe.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really happy about the decision. It makes it a lot easier on them.
Yep.
They feel that, oh my gosh, I really was looking into the best interests of my loved ones.
For sure.
And
for
it is a great thing. I've seen that with my very own family.
Nice.
I have several family members that kind of an environment was a big help. So I have a grandmother that we did this with back in the 90s. And it is kind of a neat story because she lived in St. Clair Shores and we were out in the Shelby Township area. It was about a 40-minute drive.
Sure.
And a lot of the evenings we would get a phone call from her when she was living in her own home. And she would, you know, tell us these stories. To me, I was in my teens and 20s.
Right.
It kind of sounded ridiculous to me. And my dad said, no, this is your grandmother reaching out and just right. being concerned that, you know, if something happened to her in the middle of the night, would someone even know that she needs help? And this was in the 90s. So it was before really things got more popular as far as the emergency notification systems right. and things like that. But she was concerned that something might happen in the middle of the night and there would be a problem. So I was the disposable grandson at that time. I was in high school and college.
Sure.
So I would have to go at 10 or 11 p.m. at night, take that 40-minute trip to go to her home, assess and figure out what really right. is going on. Sometimes it was a 2 or 3 hour ER trip, and wow. I would get back home at 1 in the morning and have to go to school or, you know, go to work the next day. So it got to be pretty overwhelming. And my dad said, you know what? There's an independent living community
okay.
about 5 minutes from here. And at that time, there were probably only 2 or 3 where there's now 20 or 30. And so we placed her into that community mm-hmm. about 5-10 minutes from our home. Those phone calls stopped. When I would go visit her to bring her back to my parents' home for Sunday dinners or holidays and whatnot, same kind of thing. She would meet me in the vestibule. She would introduce me to all of her friends. She would tell me, you know, you've got to come and we'll have dinner and we'll right. play cards or
That's
we'll
awesome.
Watch a movie here on movie night. Or so, yeah, there are a lot of neat stories
oh,
that
yeah.
I've seen over the years, whether it's my own family or some of the families that I've been, yeah. you know, fortunate enough to really have a big impact for. And I'll tell you, I just got a phone call from someone yesterday uh-huh. that I had helped back in 2009. And he was a nephew. He was helping his auntie. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful story. She's been living in primarily independent living for about
sure.
8-9 years. And it was a wonderful thing for their family situation because she'd been widowed for a number of years. They didn't have a very large family, but she now had a family of about 100 other fellow residents and friends that she'd made over the years. And this VA benefit helped them to be able to afford to
absolutely.
Do that because she probably would not have been able to do it on her own. So the fact that her...
Well, it's a game changer.
It is. It
so,
is.
Now going back real quick, it's awesome to hear about your grandmother going from I'm lonely, I need help, to this is my world.
Yes.
Let me share it with you.
What a change.
What a change. It is awesome. But going back, so number one, just to recap, Mike, do you prefer Mike or Michael?
I go by Michael.
Okay.
Yep, I started doing that a long time ago.
Okay. So Stuck Michael mentioned that there's service dates involved, but we've had plenty of wars. Check it out. You might
yes.
be fine. So number two, we've got you have to serve full time at least 1 day during wartime, 90
right.
days.
Right.
Minimum service. So that way, if you got discharged at 90 in medical or something, you could
yes.
possibly qualify.
Right.
And then what would be the second thing? You started to touch on assets and income.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. The VA is part of this program. They really consider this, like a lot of government benefits, a needs-based type of program.
Sure.
They want to make sure that there really, truly is a need for this. And so they have two tests. So the first one is an income test. And that's the one that I think most people don't understand truly how the VA mm-hmm. does it. They will think that, okay, I'm going to add up my loved one's income. Some of them have Social Security and maybe
right.
a pension. And okay, my loved one's income is $2,000 a month. And they look at the chart and they say, well, that's more than the income limit that the VA publishes. Well, I guess I'm not eligible. And that's really a shame because that's not the only thing that they take into consideration.
Right.
And a few years before we got involved in this benefit, the VA had made a rule change. So it was 2001 when the VA realized that, wow, we should make some changes to make sure that people are really truly in need, they allow them to take their medical expenses into consideration. Now, going back, this benefit actually came out in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much older than I am, and so many people have not heard of it. So then
right.
enter 2001, when they made this major change, it really did have an impact on it. And so what they did
right.
at that point
mm-hmm.
is they allowed you to take your monthly medical expenses and offset that against income. And that was really how we truly understood that this could be a benefit to people, just because when you move into an independent or assisted living community, you do a couple of things, mm-hmm. and there is a way to make it so that entire monthly charge becomes a medical deduction. So right. that's why most people will qualify for these benefits, okay. these VA aid and attendance benefits, the day that they move into one of these care communities. They now have a big monthly medical expense. Mm-hmm. And the typical kind of scenario that I see is maybe it costs $3,000 to live there and they have $2,000 of monthly income. Well, now they will meet that requirement. They will meet the income test, because the way that the VA calculates income, their income is now negative $1,000 a month.
Right.
And that's really and truly why the VA will approve them, because now they have a negative income picture. And the VA okay. is thinking, well, gee, how do you pay for things like prescription co-pays or a phone bill or maybe food or something like that? So I think that's why the VA does it like that, because they want to give people the opportunity that if before the end of the month their income is wiped out by just monthly medical expenses, mm-hmm. that's why the VA wants to help either a veteran or a surviving spouse with this benefit.
And there's a look back period too, isn't there?
There is, and that has to do with the asset test. Mm-hmm. So the first 11 years that I worked with this benefit, there really wasn't a look right. back per se. It was maybe a day, and sometimes I would meet families that had some money in savings, or maybe they just sold their home.
Right.
And they had that money sitting in a savings account. Was very, very common. You know, in today's day and age, getting about $20 a year in interest, having $150,000 sitting in a savings account. And they would come in and say, you know, I don't think I qualify. I have some savings. I have some income. I've heard from other people that I won't qualify. And we take a look at their situation and say, yes, you absolutely can. Or in some of those cases in the past, we were able to do some either financial planning or legal planning and mm-hmm. take some of those counted assets and make them into non-counted. And then they were able to apply right after that. Recently in October, the VA came out and said, okay, as of October 18th, 2018, we're now going to have a little bit more teeth into the asset test. And okay. so they set a bright line, they call it. So they came out and said, this is going to be the actual asset figure. If you are $1 over, you're a no right now. So that was one of the things that in some regards, they did make it easier, because now we had an official figure.
Right.
Prior to that, the VA was a lot more subjective. And they used to take into account your age, your life expectancy, and some other factors. And so it was a different situation, a different qualification for someone that was, say, 75 years of age
right.
versus someone that was 90. Because a 90-year-old's life expectancy might look smaller than
certainly.
A 75-year-old that might look bigger.
So if someone tried to get these benefits 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, is it worth it to them to look into them again at this point?
It would be, yes, because okay. of that rule change. It could have been 6 months ago or 3 months ago
wow.
that, yes, they should revisit this. And that's a very, very good point, because mm-hmm. in the past, we would recommend that they would apply somewhere in the asset range of $10,000, $30,000, $40,000. That seemed to be a figure, if you stayed under
right.
that general area, the VA would approve. And so we just kind of looked at, okay, this is what was approved in the past. Let's make sure we
sure.
keep doing that going forward. And then when they changed this in October, they came out and said, well, now we're going to have an official published bright line. Mm-hmm. And currently in 2019, it's $127.61. So if you're under $127,000, you're pretty much a yes in the asset category.
Okay.
So we may have had people that they had a little bit less than that,
sure.
but in the old days, they would not qualify. They may
right.
have actually received a denial from the VA, but now they could be eligible. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, if they don't have hard, fast guidelines for the processors for the VA to follow,
right.
it's very difficult. Now, there are some ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, once again, neither one of us are attorneys, but there are some ways of handling assets gathered from the sale of a home into a trust scenario
yes.
that takes that out of the asset look at for VA, correct?
Yes, that's right. So that's one of the benefits of working with a VA-accredited attorney.
And realtor.
Yes. So they understand, you know, the rules it's and huge. Regulations. They've passed all the certifications and the testing. And the nice thing about the one that I work with is he's been doing it even longer than me. He's got about 13 years of VA application experience.
Nice.
So that really helps us in that area. And what happens is the VA in the asset area has a definition. They have what they call covered assets and non-covered assets. Mm-hmm. Most of the covered assets are the things that you and I would be thinking of every day.
Right.
Your bank accounts, your brokerage account. Some people have some monies in trusts. So they have already visited maybe an estate planning attorney, mm-hmm. and they've helped them, you know, put some of their assets into trusts. So the VA is going to say most of the things that are accounts that you get statements, whether it's mailed directly to the veteran or spouse, mm-hmm. or maybe to their trust, the VA is going to say those are covered assets. So that's where they look at that asset limit and say, okay, if you have covered assets over that, okay. you're either going to be a no, or because of the new rules, now they have this look back period, which it's a maximum of 3 years, mm-hmm. but you could be involved in up to a 5-year penalty period. So the families that we work with, we're going to make sure that they're never going to have any kind of a penalty or a look back more than 3 years. And you probably wouldn't get into the 5-year situation unless
right.
you were maybe doing some things on your own and you didn't seek professional help like a realtor or a financial advisor that knows how to deal with these things. So the non-covered assets are things like your personal belongings. So maybe you have clothing in your home. Maybe you have televisions or, you know,
sure.
furniture, things like that. Maybe you have some jewelry. So some people have some, you know, heirlooms, family heirlooms, jewelry, just things that they don't wear every day that might be sitting in a box. And then they also throw in this category of your home.
Mm-hmm.
So your primary residence, as long as you just have one home, it
right.
could be a condo, it can be single family. If you own something like that, the VA is going to say that's a non-covered asset. We're not going to count that
right.
in that asset test. And I think the main reason that they do that is there are some cases where the family doesn't want to sell the home in order
oh,
to
sure.
do this. So sometimes you have one family member, maybe it's the veteran, needs to be in a community setting. They
right.
need to live in an independent or assisted living community. But mom still wants to stay at home.
Which happens quite a bit.
It does happen
yeah.
some. So that's a situation mm-hmm. where the VA isn't going to make them sell the home
right.
so that dad can qualify for benefits while mom stays at home. I think that's really why mm-hmm. they have that little caveat in there. So that does give some opportunities for planning, and that's where I can come in, and that's where the elder law attorney that we work with can come into play.
Well, and I think that's one of the keys is not postponing this process. Even if, gosh, even if you're in your early 60s and chronologically you don't qualify for this benefit, by just getting your stuff in order now so when the time comes. So basically, you're almost saying you want to start early so you can cover your assets.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounded bad. but realistically, because we've had many folks that we went to talk with and found out, hey, you're a vet. You might qualify for this. Do not sell your house right now. Let's get things organized.
Okay.
And everything in place. And things were a little different than where monies went to a trust and this and that. And that's, once again, I'm not an attorney, but we will get you to the right people.
Exactly.
To set this up. The one thing you don't want to do is wait till last minute.
Because right.
even if everything goes nicely, what kind of time frame are you looking at?
Well, as far as when the benefit gets approved, mm-hmm. what we've been telling families for a while is generally between 4 and 8 months is kind of
okay.
the norm. There are cases where it comes in sooner. And believe it or not, a 3 or 4 or 5 month wait for the VA is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started this back about 10, 11 years ago, we were telling people expect 9 to 12 months.
That's what I used to tell people,
mm-hmm.
9 to 12.
Right.
Yeah.
So they do have an expedited claim now, which is a big help.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that, you know, we with the help of the elder law attorney that can actually process the paperwork, assist them with that. they can actually make sure that it's appropriate to follow that. And in some cases, we do see 2, 3, 4 month approvals. Now, one of the nice things about this is, yes, it is. It has gotten a lot better. Now, that was, you know, before the October change. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that the VA doesn't seem to give some of their processors a lot of training when they make major changes, it does seem like it's slowed down a little bit.
Okay.
So we've been telling people 4 to 8 months is a pretty safe time frame. But the nice thing about this benefit is the VA does make it retroactive backwards.
Right.
So if
what that means.
Yeah. So what that means is today is March 13th. So if you were to apply today, the VA would stamp it and say, we got it on March 13th or, you know, a few days down the road when it was received by the pension center. And so they would stamp the date that it was received, and then benefits start the first of the following month. So they would get an April 1 effective date if they received it on March 13th. So then what happens is, let's say it takes until July for that family to get the approval. The VA then is going to go back and say, we owe you a July 1st payment, a June payment, a May payment, and they would go all the way back to that April 1st date and say, it's not really your fault that it takes us, you know, 4 months for the approval. So the family will get most of that time period back. So they would get everything up to that first month back, because you always lose out on the first month with government benefits.
All right. So they've gotten, they've went through the process. They've gotten the benefits. Now they can use that money to go to the Bahamas, go gambling, right? It's just free.
To a certain extent, you're right. I think you're kind of, you know, you're exaggerating a little bit to show that, yeah, this is something that's for them. The other thing that I like to make sure people are aware of is the benefit is paid directly to their loved one's bank account.
Right.
So when we fill out the application paperwork, one of the things that we are sure to include is their banking information. So we can put in their account number, their 9-digit routing number. That way the benefit award is sent right to their bank account every month.
Sure.
It gets there on the first of the month, and you're right, to a great extent they can use it for whatever they want. But most people are using it for their care, and sometimes there are some things that they can utilize it for that would make their life better.
But they can use it for in-home care.
Yes.
They can use it for senior communities.
Yes.
And there is a medical need aspect of this benefit.
That's
also
true.
So we've got, just to recap again, one, certain dates of service. Two, your financial situation, which don't try to guess if you qualify or not. Come seek Michael out, find out. You may be surprised, because it's the way you're looking at your monies and assets could be very different than how VA looks at it, or how things could get set up where down the road you would qualify.
Yes.
And then next, there is a medical aspect to
That's right.
So go ahead and
give us
that. In order
for the various independent and assisted senior communities, in order to make that become a medical deduction, you have to have two things. And in my opinion, they're relatively easy. Most people will be able to qualify for this. So the first thing is their doctor, any doctor that they work with, their doctor is going to say, yes, my patient needs to live in a protected environment. And that's some of the verbiage that the VA uses as part of their statutes that say, if a licensed physician says that they must live in a protected environment, a la independent living, assisted living, memory care environment.
In-home care.
Mm-hmm. So if they need some medical type oversight, the doctor is going to vouch.
Is it two items?
Yes. So the doctor is going to say, my patient needs to live in a protected environment. In order to get assistance with two of these, ADLs is the term that the medical community uses, activities of daily living. So for people that are not in the medical community, activities of daily living are typically things that you and I might do in the morning when we get up out of bed first. So we can get out of bed on our own. We can take a bath or a shower safely on our own. We can go get to the bathroom or the toilet.
Prepare your own meals.
Yes. And
all those
dressing.
Things. Dressing.
So those are the dressing or undressing. So yeah, so the doctor is going to say my patient needs to live in that protected environment, and they need assistance with at least two of those activities of daily living.
Okay.
And there is a financial component to that typically, because you're paying someone
Absolutely.
To help you with that. In a lot of cases, it might be $100, $200, $300 a month.
Sure.
The family that I met with yesterday, their dad is receiving $1,395 a month of care. He needs a lot of care because he's in a wheelchair. So he needs help getting up out of bed every day.
Right.
He needs help getting ready for bed in the evening. and several times during the day so they can assist them going to the bathroom and things like that. So it varies quite a bit. So some of the families, they don't have a really, really exorbitant need for that care, and they might be more of an independent living setting. Mm-hmm. And so they're relatively independent. Their mind may be sharp. They may just need a little bit of physical assistance. And in a lot of cases, it may be a scenario where they're living at home. They're living alone. So they move into an independent living environment, but they're still living alone. So if they had some kind of an emergency where maybe they decided to take a bath at 9 or 10 in the morning,
right,
and they might have slipped and fallen, you know, their balance might be off a little bit, or maybe they have some knee or arthritis issues or something like that. And so they're a little bit of a fall risk. And so if that, you know, 1 in 100 situation happened where they did fall,
right,
they might not be able to reach the emergency pull cord across the room. They might not be able to push that emergency pendant because they may be unconscious. And someone might not realize that for a few hours. So that's where this benefit can be a big help. Someone will just be there. Maybe they're just sitting on the couch reading a book or watching TV, and they call it a standby shower assist. So that would be one of those two ADLs that they need to be paying for in order to get that care. So it's a very low bar that they have to meet. A lot of families, like I said, they're able to get for a surviving spouse $1,209 this year, and they might be paying for $100 or $200 of additional care to make sure that their loved one is in a safe and protected environment. Yep. And it really is a positive all the way around.
Oh, and here again, it's one of those things where don't guess. Come see the experts. Because here again, when you're working with the government, what makes totally good sense to you and I does not meet the government's sensibility. And the other thing I do want to put out for folks, and Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, and we do have another VA benefit we want to put out there on your property tax. But if you are the surviving spouse of a veteran that falls under these guidelines, you will get these unless you remarry.
Yes.
If you remarry, you're cut off.
You may damage your eligibility if you remarry. And that's what they mean by the term surviving spouse. So if you are married to the veteran at the time that they pass away and you do not remarry, you're considered a surviving spouse. Now, I have seen cases where people have married three veterans in their lifetime.
Oh, my goodness.
So you could have a scenario where, you know, mom got remarried once, maybe twice. As long as that subsequent marriage is to a qualifying veteran, then they can still maintain their eligibility.
Is there a tender for VA benefits? Swipe right. I don't know. Do you know what's funny is we actually, one of my past clients, and her husband was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. Nice lady. Well, a lot of these folks, and you know, they like to stay in contact with you.
Sure.
And she had told us that she was getting remarried, told me. And I explained this to her that slow your roll. This is what it's going to do.
Right.
And so they never got married, but they had a very inspirational commitment ceremony to each other out by the garden, which was just lovely, and her VA benefits stayed in place.
Yes. And that's the thing, you know, it happens a lot. Sometimes pensions will change if someone gets remarried.
Absolutely.
So you're absolutely right.
Social Security.
Yes. There can be a lot of changes that happen when your marital status changes. And that's like you were saying, you want to seek out professionals that know how to handle these things.
Sure.
They can give you good advice, and they're correct when they give it to you.
Yep.
So there are situations like that with marital status that you can accidentally disqualify yourself for not only VA benefits, but for other things.
All kinds of things.
Same thing when it comes to the home, and that really is your area.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you're going to consider selling the home, but you just want to make sure that you're in contact with the professionals like elder law attorneys, like realtors,
absolutely,
like financial advisors that can make sure that you don't actually take what is a non-covered asset and make it turn into a covered asset. So you need to just do it right and seek out the professional help so they help you.
I actually almost stopped a closing that was next to me. I could hear it going on, and I knew the agent. Good guy. He had no malice intent whatsoever. He just did not have the knowledge. And I went around to his closing room, and I, hey, come here. Your guy sounds like he's a vet. Yeah. When was he a vet? And he told me, I go, is this set up in a trust? No, he's getting a cashier's check today. is he trying to get VA benefits? I don't know. And I'm like, well, you might want to address this before. And unfortunately, it was at the very last minute. And I don't know the outcome of that.
Well, and that's even more important now that the rules changed back in October of 2018. We really, really have to be careful about that. And that's probably the biggest impact that you and I can make.
Oh, sure.
Is when we're working with families is make sure that they're taking all of those things into consideration. And that's really huge. That really is a big change
since the end of last year
because of the fact that now that could disqualify them for 3 years.
See, I have enough knowledge where I can ask the questions and then go, let me introduce you to this person. So I have enough knowledge to be dangerous, but not enough knowledge to, and everyone on my team is this way because we have a whole team.
Yes.
And they all know these are the questions we ask. If there is the slightest bit of, okay, this might be a possibility, let's get them to the right people.
Yes, and that's a huge part. We had talked about, you know, having a network of professionals that you can trust. They know what they're doing. They have your clients or their clients' best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. And that is really something that you really have to be careful of.
Absolutely.
Because you want to make sure that, number one, the people are aware of these little pitfalls that could be causing problems down the road. They may not even know it. And that's really where, you know, having more than 10 years of background, knowing these kinds of things.
Oh, for sure.
Not only knowing how it used to be in the past, but knowing how the benefits are working now. Because there is a lot of misinformation. I have families that come in all the time and say, you know, we know of a relative or a friend of the family that you helped 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and they assume that everything is the same. And if they did the same things, they probably would not be eligible. So you do really want to be careful and make sure that you're looking at what's going on right now. And the house, the sale of a house, a primary residence, is the big thing that we just want to make sure that people exercise caution and they realize that. The other thing that I want to mention is, like you said, we're not attorneys, but I've seen enough of these where you have to have the proper kind of trust. It's not just that you have a trust. It's that it's compliant with VA and Medicaid benefits.
And, little side note on that, one of my pet peeves too, you need an elder law attorney.
Yes.
Okay. Love attorneys. However, if you ask an attorney if they do a trust and they say yes, but on their card it says, oh, I don't know.
Estate planning is usually what it would say.
Right. But if it says anything else like divorce attorneys, family law, or things of that nature, yes, they did have a 4-hour class in that back in college, but I wouldn't trust that. You want, this is really, when you get to this point, it's almost like doctors. You know, up until you're 25, 30, 35, 40, it's not often you see anything but your general practitioner.
Yes.
As you get older, more and more specialists come into your life because you don't have the time to recoup from someone else's mistake.
Right. And that's, I liken it to, you know, we are to the VA what a CPA is to the IRS. You know, we're right near the end of tax season right now.
Right.
And, you know, you don't say, here, IRS, you calculate my taxes. I'll just take your word for it.
But the S does stand for service.
Well, that's true, but they're not looking out for our service. They're
looking out for theirs. Well, let me get this out because we're about ready to wrap down. So we talked a little bit about some of the VA benefits, the aid and attendance benefit that you may qualify for. Reach out to us, and we're going to have Michael tell us the best way to get a hold of him here in a minute. But there is another benefit that I cannot tell you how many people, past clients of ours, we've turned on to this that had no idea. Now, this does change from state to state, but in the state of Michigan, and this came in 2013, it's always been in place, but the percentage of your discount, so to speak, is determined by state to state. So like Colorado is 50%, Michigan is 100%. Now, what am I talking about? If you are a disabled veteran, you are 100% tax exempt on your primary residence. So if your annual taxes is $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, heck, even if you're in Roseville and it's $3,000, $4,000, this is a huge thing. They will not go retro. Okay. If it is a secondary property, they will not count this. This is only for your primary residence. This is not if you're on trust and there's a property, your mom's property in the trust, that doesn't count either. If you're interested in this, would like to know if you qualify, just shoot us an email. We're happy to send you the guidelines to look at and give you a little guidance on this. But this is PA 161 of the 2013 Disabled Veterans Exemption, 100% in the state of Michigan, which is awesome. Here again, if the spouse remarries, the surviving spouse remarries, they will cut you out. So keep that in mind. Michael, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much.
Can you believe it's been like almost an hour?
I know. I can't believe it. Getting this information out, can sometimes time really flies. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Tell us the best way for folks, and tell us the best way to get a hold of you, and give us your top three services that you feed your family with.
All right.
That you do, okay?
Okay. Yes, the easiest way to reach me by telephone, it's area code 586-615-0600. Again, 586-615-0600. Or by email, mmacheri@macheriplanning.com.
Okay.
And this is key. You know, there are a ton of benefits out there. We've touched on two major ones.
Right.
And so look into these. On Tuesday evenings, I present a seminar at my office so people can just spend about an hour getting educated. I really am gearing it towards the kids, the caregiver generation. So Tuesday evenings at 6:30 in my office in Clinton Township, I do a one-hour educational seminar.
Okay.
As a financial advisor, as you said, I do need to pay the bills and put some food on the table and things of that nature. So as a financial advisor, I do things differently than most of the other advisors.
How so?
I'm not the advisor that's going to help someone that's maybe right out of school, 25 years old. They have 30, 40, 50 years of working ahead of them, and their investing is a little bit different than what I do. What I do is I work with the people that are 50, 60, 70. Maybe they're getting close to retiring. They're in retirement. Those kind of situations, you have a nest egg at that point, whether it's small or medium or large. You want that to keep growing. The things that I do as a financial advisor will take advantage of indexing to make sure that we don't lose funds. You're never going to have a down year. And that's why we've been so successful, is we're working with and helping veteran families get these benefits. And then they come back to us and say, I've never had a financial advisor tell me I won't lose money, even if there's a market downturn next year.
Which could be coming up, folks.
Yes.
A little side note.
We've had 10 years of upside.
And our economy is always cyclical, up and down, up and down. And yes, we have been on the high side for quite some time. So if you are getting up to that point, and here again, it goes back to that, it's hard to recoup.
It is. And that's something that when you're in those retirement years, you might not have 5 or 10 years to make up in a down market. So that's really what we specialize in. And that's been very, very helpful to our families, our clients, because most of the other advisors don't even talk about those kinds of options.
Sure, sure. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on Baby Boomer University. Once again, folks, you're going to be able to, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, you'll be able to download this podcast so you can hear Michael's and mine's soothing voice as you travel around Metro Detroit or throughout the rest of the country. And you can get that on Friday afternoon, right, Jess?
Mm-hmm.
At podcastdetroit.com, Baby Boomer University. Also, we will be putting this back out here in about 3 weeks because I'll be in San Diego next week. And we'll chunk this back out with just awesome information. Here again. Even if you weren't a vet, I dare say someone in your life or someone that's possibly going to be in your life is a vet. If you didn't retain all this information, no worries. Reach out to Michael. Reach out to me. We'll get you to the right places you need to go to make sure you do not miss out on any of that. And on that note, class is dismissed.